Hey, this is Trevor. Sorry I can't come to the phone right now, but if you leave me a message, I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Hey, Trevor.
Would you ever watch me do porn? Can we talk about that? I hope the answer is no. And how about those Canucks from 2011? Forever immortalized? Is that the right word? I don't got a dictionary in front of me. But hey, Henrik and Daniel and Roberto Luongo, first ballot Hall of Famers. And I can't stop saying that. It feels nice. And it still feels as if it's somewhat of a surprise. Begsy, can you call me back?
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling me back. How is it going?
Yeah, I'm alive, man. That's the most important thing. I thought I might die yesterday, but here I am.
Yeah, dude.
Can't go back to that easily.
You got to take care of yourself, man. Can you drink some fucking water today? Can you do that for me? All right?
Oh, man. I've been drinking lots of water, man. I've been drinking lots of water. I even ate some food.
There you go, man. Eat some bananas, too, man. Bananas, walks, water, and a little bit of weed. That can heal a lot of things. Because when you're on that walk and you're smoking a bit of weed, you tend to think of some good things, okay? You relax. And I think when your mind relaxes and you're in a good place, your body can heal if you consciously make that decision, okay? So again, let me rephrase that in another way. Go for a walk and tell yourself, I'm going to heal myself on this walk. And what's going to happen? You're going to heal yourself, okay?
It's going to be great, man. You know what? Shout out to the weed, though. You know, I was feeling like shit yesterday. Started to feel a little better towards the end of the day. Lots of water, a little bit of food. Then I had a bowl before bedtime and slept like a champion, and now I feel great. So
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Shout out to the marijuana.
Beautiful. Shout out to life in general, okay? I think if you're on the west coast of Canada, today's a beautiful day. Again, I heard it may rain later. Okay, I'm not going to live there yet. I'm going to live in the moment. Right now it's looking beautiful, and I think it is really beautiful, or even more beautiful because of the news we got yesterday. Now, this city is not a city full of champions, okay? It's not the city of champions. It's probably the furthest thing from that, if you're really honest, okay? Straight up. It is what it is. That being said, yesterday, three Vancouver Canucks, former Vancouver Canucks, two, you could say, yeah, they're all-timers for sure. The other one, I don't know who, he's probably going to go with the Florida Panthers, but nonetheless, you got Roberto Luongo and the Sedin Twins making the Hall of Fame off the rip. First ballot Hall of Famers. This is probably the greatest day or the greatest 24-hour stretch in Vancouver Canucks history, because I feel as if it's all positive. It's the most grandest of accomplishments in this category, and it's all positive, all right? All positive. Remember, the Canucks have made multiple Stanley Cup finals, 55 plus, well, whatever, however long it's going to be. But hey, they burned the city down twice, so it can't really, you know, hold on to that shit too closely, okay? So this, again, Henrik, Daniel, and Luongo making the Hall of Fame off the rip. It's the greatest 24-hour stretch in Vancouver Canucks history. Straight up.
Yeah, that's the... It certainly doesn't quite feel like that, man. Maybe I'm just usually I'm more positive than you, but I feel like the best accomplishments happen on the ice, like in the moment. But this is a nice reward for three guys who are three of the greatest Vancouver Canucks in team history, but just three of the greatest NHLers of all time. And you know, goalies in particular are underrepresented in the Hall of Fame. So it wasn't a surprise that Luongo made it first ballot. You know, fourth all time in wins. Third or second all-time in games played, like he's right up there. And then there's also an underrepresentation of fucking Swedish twins in the Hall of Fame. You know why? Because there aren't any.
Yeah.
The Sedin twins are two of the greatest NHLers of all time. We're never going to see anything like the Sedins again. Sedinery is going to live on forever, and I'm glad I got rewarded with the first ballot Hall of Fame nod. I think that was not inevitable. I think that was on the fence, but I'm glad it happened. I think the city of Vancouver feels a little bit vindicated, because I think for a lot of the Sedin's careers, they were underappreciated across the NHL, you know, whether it just be that like, East Coast bias, not recognizing how good they were. That probably played into it, but really nice to see the Sedin's get some love from the rest of the NHL, or at least the 14 guys in the Hall of Fame committee.
Yeah, 100%. And the most love. It's fucking perfect that they made it off the rip again. First ballot Hall of Famers. And I think it's more than well-deserved because of the story. The story is so remarkable. The story will never be duplicated, okay? We're talking about two identical twins dominating the NHL for a small stretch of time, okay? There was a, I think a lot of people may have ignored the Sedins and their success because, to be honest, I feel as if they were only really great for, you know, maybe like a little bit less than 50% of their careers where they were like the best players in the league, you know? But when they were on and the best players in the NHL, they were better than the Ovechkins. They were better than the Crosbys. And at the same time, they were changing the game. They were changing the game. Nobody could do the things that Henrik and Daniel could do at that time. And why could they do it? Because they were twins. They were cheating. They were cheating, okay? They could do things that nobody else could do because of telepathy. And normally, it's hard to believe those types of things, but we watched every single Canuck game. We saw it. We saw it. We saw the ability to do, again, what other people couldn't do, and that's pass the puck. The way they could pass the puck. Just do everything. Do everything. They were incredible. Incredible. And I'm very, very proud. Proud of both of them. And I'm also really proud of Luongo, too. I feel as if, personally, I feel like I might have undervalued Roberto Luongo's tenure as a Vancouver Canuck based on how his final years played out. And his final years played out in a way that kind of derailed everything he did for the franchise. And this is probably because I'm petty and I'm still not over how he played in the 2011 finals. I feel very disappointed still because I do think that he just was the furthest thing from great, especially in those losses. Way too inconsistent. Probably one of the bigger reasons the team lost. And I think this Hall of Fame induction, maybe if I listen to the speech or maybe if I read the article that Drance wrote about Luongo going to the Hall of Fame and having a one-on-one interview with him, maybe it'll heal some wounds, okay? Maybe it'll heal some wounds. I don't know, Trevor. I don't know.
I think the majority of Canuck fans probably undervalue what Luongo did in Vancouver because of the volatility in his playoff performances. And, you know, I have this conversation with my dad, and I know I ripped my dad last week for saying that Tampa was going to get swept. But I think, you know, my dad and some of the older fans I talked to as well, like they still think about that when they think of Luongo, is that he couldn't get it done in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it's such a fascinating debate because in a lot of ways, Luongo was stellar in the playoffs. His underlying numbers were stellar. That's almost like a bit of that Mike Smith experience, you know?
Yeah.
Not that Luongo was as bad as Mike Smith, but you just never knew what you were going to get. There'd be some games that Luongo had led in six goals and looked like he was a minor league goaltender, and then some games he would steal the team wins. So it did really go both ways when it came to Luongo in Vancouver. At the end of the day, though, just his overall body of work, his longevity in the NHL, like, he really did deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Not to mention the Olympic golds, like when he took over from Brodeur in 2010 and helped Canada win gold. There were some big, really, really big moments in Luongo's career. But yeah, I think it's always going to be hard for Canuck fans to get over the fact that, you know, not even against Boston in 2011, but against Chicago in 2009 and 2010, he had some really volatile performances as well. So there's always going to be that asterisk with his legacy, but at the end of the day, he is the best goaltender in Vancouver Canucks history and one of the best goaltenders of all time.
Facts. And just having this conversation about Luongo and going through the mental film I have on him, I wonder what it was about the playoffs that got Luongo so 50-50, because I think you brought up a great reference. I think comparing him to Mike Smith is a bit too much and a bit extreme, and I think it kind of hurts my soul, but I can see where it's coming from. And I think Luongo, again, I'm not Luongo, I'm just Kyle Bound. I think he was unable to be consistent in the playoffs because of how much he cared. And how many times do we talk about the importance of having fun in life? You know what I'm saying? And especially when you're playing a child's game, like professional hockey, you got to have fun so you can just do you. And when Luongo was doing him, he was one of the best players in the NHL. But there was a time where it was pretty obvious that this dude cared more than anyone. And I feel as if he might have psyched himself out a couple of times, and especially in the 2011 finals where he was just so polarizing. I guess that's the perfect word, because even when they won games, he was incredible. But when they lost, it was like, how the hell is this Luongo?
Yeah, exactly.
It's something else, and here I am. Look at what I'm doing, okay? Luongo gets to the Hall of Fame, and I'm so 50-50 when it comes to the appreciation and the glorifying of his his lack of showing up.
That's just Vancouver Canucks fandom, baby. Yeah. You know, when you've gone as long as you have without winning, you hold on. If there was a Stanley Cup win in there, we wouldn't even be talking about this, right? But the fact that this team never has won a championship and never won with the greatest team in franchise history, there's always going to be that asterisk, and that's just the way it goes. Part of it's the way they lost, too, right? It's, you know, if they lost with the Luongo posting like a .930 save percentage on a nightly basis, yeah, it'd be a different story. But there was a lot of dog shit games from Luongo in the playoffs, too. Again, it's just, in terms of being a Vancouver Canucks fan, it does taint his reputation a little bit. But at the end of the day, like I said, he's greatest goaltender in team history and one of the greatest goaltenders of all time. And the numbers back that up.
So true. So true. And, I'm feeling kind of guilty. Feeling kind of gross. I kind of want to end on this note. Let's bring back Henrik and Daniel. What was your favorite play that came from Henrik and Daniel? Because, again, they did things that nobody else could do. They did things that nobody else will do again. And it's just a fucking glorious feeling having them in the Hall of Fames off the rip. Again, I'm gonna use that word three times. It feels good, bro. It feels good because I think there was a time where I felt that may have not happened, and that kind of scared me, okay? Because this conversation could have gone in a different way if they didn't make it. Again, off the rip, I would have been choked. I would have actually tweeted out 100 times about my distaste for what had happened, because there was a chance that could have happened, because it's not as if Henrik and Daniel were incredible their whole careers. You know what I'm saying? And it's not as if they were point-per-game players. I think what happened here was they looked at that 5 or 6 year stretch and they looked at the fact that they were identical twins, and then they looked at how they kind of revolutionized the game, and they made it a no-brainer decision to have them as first ballot Hall of Famers.
I would even say it was closer to a decade. Like, when we came back from the lockout in 05-06, from that point until even 2014-15, when the Canucks last made the playoffs with the Sedins, like, the Sedins are still 70-point guys that season as well. So I would say it was really a 10-year stretch of them being elite players in the National Hockey League. In terms of my favorite memory, like, what comes to mind first is the end of the 2009-10 season, that last game against Calgary. Henrik needed 2 or 3 points to win the Art Ross. He puts up 4 assists, and Daniel gets the hat trick in that, like, I think it was a 7-3 victory over Calgary. And of course, what stands out the most is that sick pass from Henrik to Daniel.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel is the in-between the legs goal against Kiprusov. That to me, like, just when, you know, and there was some not to say there was crazy pressure in that moment, but, you know, when Henrik needed to get the job done to lock up the Art Ross and also the Hart, they got it done in a big, big, big way. And you can't really shit on them in the playoffs either. Like, they were consistent performers in the playoffs as well. So, that's the memory that stands out to me most, is that 4-point game from Henrik to lock up the Art Ross.
Beautiful. I was at that game. And it's
a game. Really? Yeah. Woo!
Okay, so that game was a prime example of why I was a little scared that they wouldn't get in as first ballot Hall of Famers, because I don't even see that goal a lot when it comes to the top 10 passing players or top 50 goals of the day. You know what I'm saying? I feel as if that goal is forgotten. And that goal will never happen again. It won't happen again. That was an incredible play. That was a snap pass deflected through Henrik's legs to Daniel Sedin, who's coming out of the corner, who then puts it between his legs and goes top shelf on Mika Kiprusov. That goal's never happening again. It should be shown more.
Yeah.
100%. And not seeing it again in highlight packages or, again, best goals of the decade and all that jazz made me scared that these two wouldn't make it as first ballot Hall of Famers. But, hey, they did, and it's an incredible day to be a hockey fan from the city of Vancouver. And also just it's an incredible day for Henrik, Daniel, Luongo in general. I mean, it's validation. Validation is important. They didn't win a cup, but I'm glad that they're immortalized because, again, there's probably not going to be players like them ever. Now, Trevor, when I was driving to work, I listened to a podcast, okay? Totally different conversation here, but we're about to leave, and I got to get this off my chest because I was thinking that I'd have to have this conversation with you. I was listening to a podcast where somebody was interviewing two porn stars. Well, it was Andrew Schulz interviewing the people from No Jumper, and they interview rappers, but they also do a podcast where the dude and his girl record a podcast and they fuck after. It's some on some OnlyFans things. And he said something like,
"Oh shit, okay."
And Andrew was like, "Yo, by the way, I never watch your porn. I never watch your porn. I could never do that. I could never do that because it would just be on my mind when we'd have conversations. So I thought I'd ask you a question. Would you ever watch me do porn?"
"Yeah, man, 100%.
What? That's fucked, dude. That's fucked, bro. That's fucked. Man. That is fucked.
I want to see how you perform in the sack, buddy.
Damn, dude. Damn.
What can I say? I'm a horn dog with no shame, bro. I'd watch you do your thing in a porno.
Damn.
No problem, buddy.
And
I'll give you a little champagne shower afterwards.
No, dude, that's what I was gonna say. There's no way that you could be turned on if you were to watch someone that you knew perform in the art form that is porno or pornography, okay? There's no way. There's no way. It's I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, you're less of a horn dog than I am, though.
I guess so.
Fairness.
I guess so, man. I guess so. It is what it is, and maybe we'll talk more about it tomorrow. You have a great day with your nephew at the aquarium, okay?
Should be a good one, buddy. You enjoy your day as well. Talk to you on hump day.
Peace, peace, peace.
Peace.